Would take your Bibles. We'll be in Genesis tonight, actually, Genesis, and we'll be in chapter number 4. Genesis chapter number 4. And we've been here years and years ago. God led me here to Genesis chapter 4. And as I was studying for the message this morning and thinking about a hard heart, I was considering the first hard heart in all of history, and it's right here in Genesis chapter 4, Cain and Abel. And so if you would, when you find your place, let's go ahead and stand, and we will begin our reading. Verse number 4. I had a fancy new Bible, and it won't stay open. Yeah. There we go. You better say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Genesis chapter 4, starting in verse number 1. It says this. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel also he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. The Lord loves the fat thereof. Amen?
Amen?
Come on. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? He said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. So we'll pray and we'll get into our message. And the title is this, The First Hard Heart. Subtitle, God's Grace of Correction. God's Grace of Correction. Let's pray and get into it tonight. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace. And God, as we think about what it means to have a hard heart, and we think about your word and how it convicts and brings correction, we're thankful for your grace there. Help us, Lord, to understand that today. Help us to have hearts that are open. And Lord, that will say, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. Thank you for our youth. Pray that you bless them for serving you today. May you be glorified by all we do. Christ in my pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated. So the grace, God's grace of correction, this is being the first hard heart. And when you hear that, those words, grace of correction, it might sound a little bit weird, a little bit strange to you, because grace and correction in your mind might sound like two opposite things. Like, how can grace be correction? And how can correction be grace? They seem in our minds sometimes as opposites. Well, if you're a parent in here tonight, or if you've dealt with kids really at all, then you know what I'm talking about when I say grace of correction. If you're a parent and your children do something wrong, do you correct them? Or do you just let them do whatever they want? Well, I hope you correct them. And I hope you do that because the Bible says to correct them. It says they need that. if you love your child, the Bible says, if you love your child, you will correct them. And so why do you do that? Why do you correct your children? Is it because you're angry at them? I hope not. Because if you're correcting your children out of anger, you're doing it wrong. You ought not to correct your children that way. Brother Tim, are you back there still? Are those on, the fire mics?
No.
Okay, sounds loud. Okay, I'll just yell louder, all right? If you hear me loud, that's okay. But anyways, when your kids mess up, here's what they do. They need correction. But they don't need an angry correction. They don't need for you to lash out at them in anger. But here's the thing about your kids. When they do something wrong, they are on the road to hurting themselves. They've done wrong, and if they continue on that path, they'll just continue to do more and more evil, more and more wrong, and hurt themselves along the way. And so the reason you correct your children, if you love them, is because you want them to do what's right. Not because you're mad at them, not because you want to pay them back, because you're vengeful. No, that's wrong. And if you're doing that, you need to apologize to your children, and God will correct you that way. But we correct them because we want them to do right. We want them to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. We don't want them to hurt themselves. And so the reason you need to correct your children is because of this, because you know better than your child most of the time, right? There are things about this life that you understand that your kids don't understand. They might not understand that it's dangerous to play in the street, but you understand that. And so if they go run in the street, you correct them, right? And you keep them from doing that. They might not understand the importance of discipline and responsibility. 10-year-old boys don't understand the value of cleanliness and hygiene, okay? And so you do. And so you help them and you correct them. And you put them on the right path. And so what I'm simply saying tonight is this, is that you can't just let your child do whatever he wants, because if you do that, they will eventually destroy themselves. And we live in a society that is telling our kids to do whatever you want, whatever feels good. And what we're seeing is a generation of children who are hurting themselves and who are destroying their life. And as a pastor, I dread 15 years from now when I have counseling sessions with adults who, as kids, were allowed to do anything they want and change their body if they want and do whatever they want with their body and watch whatever they want and listen to whatever they want. It's bad for them. And the Bible says if you love your children, you'll correct them. And the Bible says if you spare the rod, you hate your child, because your child needs the rod. Your child needs correction. Your child needs to know when they're doing wrong so that they can stay on the right path. Okay. So all of that really is because you know more about life than your child. And by correcting them, what you're doing really is showing an amount of grace upon him. Why? Because you're keeping him from ruining his life. You see? Well, when you compare what you know with your child, that's a pretty big gap. But if you compare what you know with Almighty God, that's an even bigger gap. And God knows more than you. And if you're saved tonight, are God's child. And God sees you, and He watches you live your life. And God knows more than you. And when you do something that you ought not do, God intervenes. Why? Because the Bible says, whom He loveth, He correcteth. He chasteneth. He will give us a spanking in life. Why? Because He loves us. And when we get off track, He will intervene. And He will correct because He loves us and because He knows more than us. Here's the reality. Some of us like to think we have this life all figured out, but if you're really honest, we really don't know much about this life. And just like we correct our child because we know more than our child and we love our child and we want our child to do right and to live a good life, God, our Heavenly Father, knows better than us, and He loves us, and He wants us to live a life that is pleasing to Him, and a life that is what He intends for us to live. And so God's correction in our life is actually His grace in our life, you see. We ought to welcome that. Now, it's never fun, or else it's not correction, right? If your child loves the punishment, you need to think of a different punishment, okay? Because it's never fun to be corrected, but we ought to be thankful when God corrects us, because He doesn't want us to destroy ourselves. And God has been graciously correcting mankind since the beginning of time. Now, just before our text, God created the entire world by speaking it into existence in 6 days. He spoke and the universe was here. It did not happen over billions of years. In fact, there's no such thing as a million years because time started about 6 to 10,000 years ago. And so there's no such thing as a million years. And God spoke it into existence in 6 literal days. And right before our text, he created the first man and the first woman. And right after that, they did the one thing they were not supposed to do. They had one job. And to not eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And they did, didn't they? And whenever we step outside of God's plan, God corrects. And that's exactly what God did. And God just, in chapter 3, just finished correcting Adam and Eve for their sin. And we, just for sake of time, we're not going to dive into all that right now. But Adam was cursed, Eve was cursed, Satan was cursed, and the earth was cursed. And all of that is God's grace of correction in humanity. Okay, so then right after God corrected them in his grace and because of their sin, God graciously then gave Adam and Eve children. And so now God is, he corrected them, and now they're right again. By the way, when your kids do wrong and you correct them, don't hold a grudge. No, after the correction's over, you and them are right again. You can't continue to treat them poorly after you've corrected them. If that's the truth, then you've not corrected them right, and you're holding bitterness in your heart. You need to confess that before God and before your children. And so God corrected his children, Adam and Eve, and then right afterwards, he blesses them and gives them a child. Look in verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. It's a blessing. That's God's grace. He didn't have to allow that. And so Cain, his name means, I have created a man with the Lord. And so basically, in effect, what Eve was saying is, God made man, and now, by God's grace and with his help, I have now made the second man. God made the first man from the dust of the earth. Cain would have been the first man that man made. God made, but was birthed. You understand? So he was the first one that has been born was Cain right here. And there's kind of a slightly ominous note here in the occupations between Cain and Abel. Cain was what? A tiller of the ground. Now, we had a lot of verses here, so I'm going to refer back. We read them all. But in verse 2, it says that Cain was a tiller of the ground. Abel was a keeper of the sheep. Now, there's nothing really sinful about either occupation, being a gardener or being, you know, a shepherd, I guess. But listen, why does Cain have to till the ground? Well, it's because God cursed the ground. You see that? It's kind of like a foreshadowing in a sense. Cain is now involved with being a tiller of the ground because Adam's sin made the earth cursed and made it hard to grow food. Are you following that? And so Cain is really already reaping the consequences of dad and what he did, and now is a tiller of the ground, which occupation wouldn't really have existed in that sense before then. And so Abel's then lines up with man's original purpose of having dominion over the animals. Remember, God said before the fall, man was to have dominion over the animals. And so Abel, his occupation is over, is having dominion, and really kind of close to man's purpose at all. And Cain is a tiller of the ground, kind of tied with the curse. And I mean, that's just maybe just interesting. It doesn't really mean a whole lot as far as what they did, but it is an interesting note there. And so anyway, that's what they were. Cain was a tiller of the ground. Abel was raising the animals, the sheep there. And the point here is that God showed grace to mankind after he corrected them over their sin. He corrected Adam and Eve, and now he's blessed them with children, with Cain and with Abel. And God shows grace to mankind after they receive correction. Aren't you glad we serve a God of grace who doesn't correct us and then he's done with us? When we mess up, he doesn't just wipe us off this earth. No, he does correct because he loves us, but he is not done with you. And if you're breathing, he has a plan for you, and he intends to use you. And that's where they are right here. And so when God corrected Cain, okay, let's keep reading. Look at verse 3. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. Let's just pause right there. And so Cain and Abel both bring an offering to God. Cain brings an offering from the fruit of the field, that he was a tiller of the ground, he would have grown food, and he brought some of his fruits from that. Abel brought a sacrifice that was of blood. And so there's a lot made out of that, because the blood is because Jesus died on the cross and the sin offering always required blood. That's not really made obvious here. There are meal offerings that include plants and stuff. We can make some things out of here. It's not really made very clear why God accepted Abel's offering and didn't accept Cain's offering. And I would contend this, that's not really the point. It's not really the point what kind of offering. Here is the point. Just listen here. Cain brought an offering, and something about it was wrong. Abel brought an offering, and it was right. Here's what matters. How did Cain respond after God corrected him? We don't know all the details, and we can try to speculate if we want to. But what matters here is this. Something about Cain's offering was wrong, and God didn't accept it. God corrected him. And here's what Cain did. He got angry. He got angry. You remember how I told you God's grace is a blessing? I mean, God's correction is a blessing. It's grace. If Cain really wanted to serve the Lord, if Cain had a heart that was soft, right? If Cain had good ground in his heart, as God corrected him, Cain would have said, I'm sorry, thank you for telling me, I'm going to fix that and I'll bring you a good offering. And you know what God would have done? He would have accepted that good offering. Isn't that what God said here? Why are you angry? If you do good, but here it is. Look at verse 6, I think it is. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? God says, listen, Cain, you don't need to be angry about this. Something about the way you brought this offering was wrong. You don't need to be angry. Just get it right. And if you get it right, you'll be accepted. There's no reason to be angry. You see? But Cain wasn't having that. Cain didn't have a heart that was ready to receive correction. No, when Cain was corrected, he got angry. He got angry. And here's what God says, and if thou doest not well, verse 7, sin lieth at the door. Yeah, sin lieth at the door. Here's really what was going on. Cain was jealous that God accepted Abel's offering, but didn't accept his offering. And Cain refused to admit that something about his offering was wrong. He couldn't accept that. He couldn't believe that he was wrong. And oftentimes when God brings correction into your life through the preaching of the Word of God, through a man of God who confronts you, through a friend who says, hey, something you did was wrong, sometimes our natural response is to be angry about that. And we need to be careful about that, because if we get angry at correction, what's going to happen is our heart will become hard. And sin lies at the door when we're there. Yep. Sometimes you're serving God or you're just going through this life and God has to correct you in some way. Maybe it's something you already knew was wrong and God finally confronts you about it. Maybe it's something that you've been doing for a long time or a belief that you've held for a long time and God shows you through reading His Word or through the preaching of His Word that what you've thought to be right this whole time was actually wrong. And that might be where Cain was. Maybe he had no idea what he did was wrong. It doesn't really matter if he knew or not right now. What matters is he refused to change. And whenever we do something that was wrong, whether we knew it was wrong and God corrects us, or whether we didn't realize it was wrong and we find out it was, the real question is, how does our flesh respond to that kind of correction? Usually in anger. And our pride wells up within us. This is how I've always served God. This is what I've always believed. And how dare you tell me how I should worship? Isn't that what Cain told God, basically? God, how dare you tell me how I should worship you? No, God gets to decide that, right? And if God corrects us over the way, even the way we serve Him, we ought to be ready to hear that and to change. How dare you tell me how I should live my life when my way has worked out just fine until now? You might say, well, Cain responded this way directly to God. At least I'm not doing that. I'm telling you, when you argue with what the Bible says, then you are saying directly to God, I don't care what you say, God, I'm going to serve you my way. We can't do that. We need to line our life up with the Word of God. Yeah. We'll hear a biblical message at church from a man who has immersed himself in preaching all week and sometimes even weeks, and we say, oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about. I don't care what he has to say about this. And you know, that's the wrong attitude to have. It doesn't really matter what I say about this or Brother Tim says about this or whoever gets behind this pulpit says about this. It matters. Is that what the Bible really says? And if the Bible really says it, then I'm going to change and I'm going to line up with what the Word of God says. Yeah. We have a choice. We have a choice. And let's see this choice which God gave Cain. Look at verse 6. We said it. Why art thou wroth? He says. And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And so God promised Cain, and listen, what matters now? It's already happened. You've already brought the wrong sacrifice. It's done. All you have to do now is correct it and then do it right. And God said, Cain, even though you've made some mistakes with your offering and responded in a disrespectful way, by the way, and he got angry with God, and now God tells him there's something wrong with your sacrifice, and then Cain turns around and yells at God and is angry with God, and God should have just wiped him out right there. But God doesn't. God, again, graciously comes to him and says, Cain, why are you angry? All you have to do, still, God is open, isn't he? Still, God is open to Cain repenting and just getting it right. But Cain doesn't respond to that grace either. And Cain, again, hardens his heart to the Word of God, and he rebels even further, and he does something extremely foolish. Verse 8, we know, don't we? Cain talked with his brother, with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And so Cain responded to God's correction by killing his brother. How foolish is that? That makes no sense, right? But listen, whenever God corrects man, and whenever we respond in anger, and we harden our heart, and God graciously comes to us, and we harden our heart more, and God graciously comes to us, and we harden our heart more, it doesn't take long before we do something irrational and sinful and make a foolish decision. And that's exactly what Cain did here. Here's what's incredible to me. He kills his brother. Now, we'll move quickly through the rest of this. And here's what God says about that. Look at verse 9. The Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? Pause. This is God. Have you ever wondered why he asked Cain that? Like, God knows where Abel is. Do you know what God wants from him? And God's giving him another chance to repent. God could have just said, Cain, I know what you did. It's over. No, God gave him another chance to get right. And he said, where is he? You know, the implication is, just repent. Just admit it to God and ask for forgiveness. And God would have been there and God would have given him grace. And so God asks him again, where is your brother? And what did Cain say? I don't know. It's like a teenager, right? I don't know. What happened between you? You and your brothers were just punching each other. What happened? Well, I don't know, right? No, just admit it and we can move on. We can just correct this and move forward. But Cain refused. Why? Because he had a hard heart. And he said, no, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. And so Cain lied to God, the one who just spoke the universe into existence. He lied to. He said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Verse 10, and he said, what hast thou done? And now here comes the judgment. After grace of correction, now God doesn't really ask a whole lot more questions. He just tells him, the voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And you refuse to repent. I've given you grace. I've tried to correct. You responded in anger. You responded in dishonesty. And now here comes the judgment. and he gives the judgment, and he curses Cain, basically causing him to be a vagabond, causing him to be separated from the rest of society, which was, you know, at this point maybe five people, but he was banished from the line, from Cain and Abel and all of that. He would be a vagabond. Now here's what's incredible. Just our God is so gracious to us. Look at verse 13. And Cain said unto the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." And he says, basically, I can't handle this, and I don't know what I'm going to do. And toward the end, he says, anyone who finds me is going to kill me, God. This is more than I can bear. You know what happened here that hasn't happened yet? He was broken. He is broken. No, it's here now, and he's facing it. And now it's like he bows before God and says, "God, I can't handle this. My punishment." You know when he says my punishment? That's admitting, this is because of what I've done. My punishment, I messed up here, and I don't know what I'm going to do. In fact, if someone finds me, they're going to kill me. Now, he's still kind of being selfish, you know? He wasn't as broken as maybe he needs to be. But there was some brokenness here, and with an ounce of brokenness came an ounce of grace. You know what God said? Look at what God says to that. God could have said, "Well, too bad, figure it out, bro." I don't know if God would ever say that, but he said, maybe you just need to deal with the consequence of your sin. Maybe you brought this upon yourself, Cain. You need to figure it out. But that's not what God told him. Look at verse 15. And the Lord said unto him, "Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him." God protected Cain. Why? Why did God protect Cain? Because he was broken. And because he understood he did wrong. And a broken and a contrite heart God will not despise. And Cain for a moment was broken. And God did not have to do this, but by his grace protected Cain. Incredible. Incredible. And Cain, it didn't take him long to turn back away from God. And look at verse 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod in the east of Eden. And he ended up building an entire civilization, basically, that was against God, and which would be a nuisance in God's people for generations to come. But we're not going to deal with that right now. But here's the point today. Don't buck against God's correction. When God brings correction, and he will, why? Two reasons. You're going to mess up, and God loves you. You're going to mess up, and God loves you. And so at times, you'll experience correction, and it's not going to be fun, and you're not going to enjoy it, but learn to be thankful for it. Because if you respond to God's correction with anger and dishonesty, it won't take long before God's judgment has to fall. But at any moment, if you're still breathing air right now, God right now is saying, just admit it. Just repent. And God is there wanting to forgive and wanting to give grace. And yeah, maybe you've gone down a road a little bit too far, and maybe there's some consequences that can't be overdone, but God can sure take a mess and clean things up. And I've seen him take a life that was wrecked and ruined and was, but then became broken and asked for forgiveness. And I've seen the grace of God all over a man's life. And I've saw him rebuild a life that has been destroyed by sin. God can do it, but he is giving you a chance right now to repent and come back. But unfortunately, a lot of times we harden and we harden and get angry and we harden and we lie and we harden and we just keep living our way. One day it's going to all fall apart. I'm going to read you some Proverbs, just a list, and we'll be done with this. And right after I read these, we'll be done. If you want to write them down, you can. But the Proverbs deal with this quite a bit. Why? Because the Proverbs were written to a young man, a teenager, who needs a lot of correction. Amen. And it'll be good for you to learn to accept and be thankful for correction. So here's what Proverbs 3, 11 and 12 says this. "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." Proverbs 9, 8. "Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Proverbs 10:17, he is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. Proverbs 12:1, whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. Proverbs 13:1, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Proverbs 13:18, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. Proverbs 15:12, a scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go into the wise. Proverbs 15:31 and 32, the ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, and he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. Proverbs 17:10, a reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. And Proverbs 29:1, the last one tonight, will be done. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Let's be people who love reproof. Let's be people who are thankful for the correction of God. And if we do that, what you'll be is people who experience the grace of God. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your correction in our life. You know who we are. You know how prone we are to make mistakes and potentially even unknowingly serving you wrong or treating people in a way we ought not. But oftentimes, if we're honest, on purpose, knowing what's right, still choosing to do the wrong thing. And God, I'm thankful that you're a God of grace and mercy, and you don't just wipe us off and start over, but you correct us, and you bring reproof, you bring instruction. Help us to be people who are thankful for that, and get our life lined up with your word and move forward. Help us that way. Help, if there's some here tonight that are hard, and their hearts have been hardened over continuing to reject correction, I pray that you would allow their heart to be broken tonight, and to be people who love and accept correction. We love and pray. And I pray, amen. Let's stand together. God's working in your heart tonight. Now is the time to respond.